Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Verse 13, I have seen this pop. It's gotten really popular for T-shirts to have Christian Bible-based phrases on them. We could probably name five or more Bible verses that have gotten popular. And this one I've seen posted on T-shirts all over the place. And it's a great statement. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know how we each, if you haven't ever thought about what your favorite verse is, it's not that we should have a favorite, but I would say this is in among my top choices, maybe my top choice. And yet, I think I've probably misunderstood this verse. And many of you all will nod your heads now, and maybe if you haven't considered it, you'll consider some of the thoughts I'm going to share here in just a few minutes. So that verse in and of itself, I was looking online at things that this verse inspires. And for much of the Christian world, it has been the lucky rabbit's foot of Scripture. That if we take this verse and we apply it to our lives in this verse as it is, then we walk away with a thought that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we take that phrase literally, then we take it and we run with that and we make whatever we want out of it. There's a gentleman who does, it's more of a motivational, Kate actually mentioned him by name, I won't, but he's more of a motivational type speaker than he is a preacher. And he draws thousands, football stadiums. He could take that verse and make a, wow, what a lesson on that verse. It wouldn't be much of a Bible lesson, it would be more of a motivational speech. But that verse in and of itself inspires a lot. High school sports teams will take this verse and kind of use it as their slogan. We personally might, and I could easily have applied this to things in my own business, my work life. So we could apply it to personal, to sports, business, whatever. And yet, it's really not accurate. And so as I was reading, I was reflecting on these verses. We're going to start in verse 11 and read verses 11, 12, and 13. And it gives us a better picture of what that verse really means. So verse 11. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Really changes the entire context. I mean, once we read those three verses together, rather than just verse 13 by itself, it really changes it. And as I was thinking about that, so obviously the translation is right. All of the leading translations use this, but I thought about this time period. So the context is, and most of you all know this, so it's just a reminder, but the context was Paul is in prison. So he's writing this letter, and he's in prison. And they guesstimate that this was probably in the early 60s AD. And so he had likely been a Christian for maybe not 30 years, but a lot, but several years. And so he actually says in one of the verses, I have learned. So in verse 11, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So he didn't want, the moment he walked into Christianity, there when he was in Damascus, he didn't have this already learned. So over the years, he developed an ability to be content in all situations. And so, you know, a more accurate understanding of verse 13 really reflects that whether he has plenty, we know he was a tent maker, whether he has plenty or whether he has nothing, he is content. And so this verse should remain an important verse for us to consider as we struggle with both ends of the spectrum. And it actually, the verse that I thought fit perfectly was, if you will turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. This section is written or recorded by a man named Agur. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but Agur was a collector of proverbs, at least in a little bit of research I did. So he compiled proverbs, and he wrote verses 7 through 9, or he wrote this entire chapter, but 7 through 9 are the three verses I want to focus on. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord, or of my God. So that verse, in a nutshell, kind of help me to frame some of my thoughts concerning Philippians chapter 4. And the thought is that this to me appears to be not so much a proverb as much as it is a prayer. And so the prayer that he is recording, I'm not sure that he came up with this or he just compiled it and put it together, but the prayer that he's recording here is a prayer that seeks to neither have too much nor too little. And the danger is that if we have too little, there's a risk of stealing or other things that would be sinful and illegal. And if we have too much, then there's a risk of having too much pride. And so the prayer here is that they find a middle ground. And of course, as we know from Paul's discussion in Philippians, that he had known what it was to have everything and to have nothing. And he had reached a point in those years, and this being in prison, that he was satisfied regardless of his circumstances. And so it brings other words to mind. In Philippians, the word joy is recorded 16 times. Philippians is a pretty short letter, but he intentionally includes that word often. And of course, joy, contentment, and peace kind of go hand in hand because they reflect an attitude. And of course, the attitude he's trying to reflect is that no matter what he faces, he is content. And so that's my little thought for the night. I hope that it's been useful and that as you think about challenges, that we realize that the day that my children became Christians, they didn't possess this. I do not yet fully possess this. Of course, I haven't been challenged the way Paul has. None of us have been, and none of us likely ever will be. But it is a process of endurability. That's not really a word, but I'll make it. Stick-to-itiveness was one I used to hear when I was a teenager. Consistency, commitment, and a desire to, or an increasing amount of ability to endure whatever circumstances face us. And so as we go into the remainder of our week, let's remember those words. As we close this short devotional, too, we always offer a chance for those of us who are not Christians. I recently said that I can't think of a time when I offered an invitation that it wasn't an emotional. You maybe didn't show, but it's an emotional, sincere plea. And I don't know how preachers, I don't see TJ here. He's here somewhere probably. But how you gentlemen can offer these and you don't see a visible sign. And so an invitation is a genuine opportunity for you to reflect on yourselves. If you're not a Christian, why is it that you're not a Christian? What's the one reason? And is that reason really, is that a reason or is it an excuse? So if you aren't a Christian, tonight's a great opportunity. There's no time like now to do that. And of course, if there are needs that anyone in here has, whether that be personal or on behalf of someone else, it's an opportunity to come forward at this time while Brooke leads us in a song.